But break my heart, for I must hold my tongue.
Your tongue, Lord Hamlet, seems most nimbly free. Could man talk more? It seems not so to me. Perhaps, good friend, within the presence of those sinners you'd uncertainly accuse, tongue-holding is suggested. But you see, I'm not a party to your tragedy. So freely speak, I pray you. For 'tis known that in the speaking out of wild emotion, some strange release is thereby soon achieved that doth make light the rumbling inner pressure that otherwise explodes our hearts and minds. At any rate, dear friend, your father's gone. Not all your tears or prayers can call him back. So after an appropriate sorrow's felt, why not apply the energy of your emotion no more to that lost, lonely realm, the past, which, spite our hopes, we never shall improve, but rather to the other nearby kingdoms that in this world we have some hope to conquer.
Kingdoms?
I speak of now and future. There's the one we can be resolutely active in, but as regards the other, we only plan. Yet, as I say, 'twere better so to do than waste our dreams and speculations on the deeds that are solidified like crystal. For all the endless time that lies behind, impervious to our saddest, fiercest hopes.
Although you say properly that past affairs cannot be rearranged, we can withal set out our future course the wisely more if we're instructed by our past mistakes. What I require to balance despair's revenge.
The word itself is not but angry sound unless the past is carefully regarded.
Enough of this, good prince. Why come you here?
I have a duty that I must perform. Though I can fully apprehend it not, yet moved I am in some mysterious way that any man might tell of having felt. You witnesses in judgment here convene can each remember, if you call it forth, feeling compelled by fear, or by desire, by avarice, or wish to avoid loss, by hunger, by drowsiness, by weakness, or any of a thousand shocks that drive us on when otherwise we'd lie like sullen cattle in the roadside's dust. Just so.